In this first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, we see a pattern developing. A pattern that, I suppose, in one way could be monotonous. As we rehearse these things, Paul and Barnabas go into a synagogue, they preach the gospel, some believe, some doubt. There's a division, opposition, they have to get out, move on. They go into another city, into another synagogue, they preach the gospel, some believe, some doubt, there's opposition, they have to move on.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. And I trust that the clip that we play there today of our main sermon has stirred your heart, and that you'll join with us in a few minutes for our main message from the pulpit of our church. Now we're turning to our Bible reading in Matthew chapter 10. And when he, the Lord Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus and Labbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth, and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, then when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now these were the disciples who would later be the apostles, upon whom the New Testament is based and on which the New Testament church is founded. They were obviously key men. They were all named to prevent imposters from claiming apostleship. They were each given power to perform miracles to substantiate their ministry. Their message was to be received by the people wherever they preached the gospel. Their message was authentic. They were sent by the Lord to preach in his name and in his authority. The Bible we have now through the imprimatur of the apostles is the divine word of God to be received by every hearer. Those who do receive it will be blessed with the peace of God. This gospel works reconciliation between sinners and the Lord of heaven. But where this gospel is not received, it brings condemnation. Those who did not receive the messages nor receive the gospel message were to be denounced by the disciples when they shook the dust off their feet. Worse than that, the Lord pronounced that it would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city, meaning the city would be under God's wrath. How many cities in Canada are under God's wrath today? Hardly a town, village, or hamlet, or even native reserve has not had a gospel-preaching church ministry at some time. Some have had to close their doors due to lack of interest or even outright opposition. But let me ask you, have you heard the gospel and turned it down? Have you said to the claims of the Lord to your heart, no? You know that you are a sinner in God's sight, and that you, the Lord Jesus, died for sinners like you, but to this day you have not received that word to be saved. Then you are under great condemnation. You are a Christ rejecter. You will be worse off than the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Your sin is worse in God's sight than the heinous sins of Sodom. Your refusal to accept the Lord into your heart and life is the ultimate act of blasphemy against God. He has sent his Son to save your soul, but you closed the door to him. You may do so nicely and even as a gentleman without rudeness, nevertheless, the wrath of God is upon you for turning down God's offer of salvation through his Son. I plead with you today as a gospel preacher, do not live under that condemnation, but come to the safety which is only found through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And please be sure that you come to that safety even today. Let's unite in prayer and look to the Lord to hear our cries. Our God and Father, we take to heart these words that you have recorded here in Matthew 10. We realize the serious business of preaching the gospel, the serious business of taking that message which has been authenticated by apostles, by their miracles, by your authority, and that word is recorded for us. O God, we recognize that we don't need more miracles to give authority to that word. But we recognize that what was done in Jesus' name had the very power of heaven. And I pray today that thou wilt call men and women to the great issues of the gospel, that they may receive the message, and that they may not have the dust shaken off before them. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt have mercy upon those who today have to some degree closed the door on the gospel. And I pray that they might be brought to faith, to trust in thee. O God, remember those places where the gospel has been shut down, where preachers have moved on. O Lord, have mercy, we pray, and in wrath remember mercy. And we pray that even today that souls will hear the gospel call to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. We pray that sinners might leave their place of danger and flee to safety in the gospel and the refuge of the name of the Lord Jesus. We do pray that they will work by your Spirit in hearts and apply your word today. We do thank thee that thou art merciful and gracious to all who repent and believe, and that there are sure and certain promises to all who do turn to the Lord Jesus. And so answer today and hear from heaven, and grant that you'll be glorified in gathering a people who do receive the word and rejoice in the Lord Jesus. It is through his name and for his glory that we ask these things. Amen.
Teach me thy will, O Lord, teach me thy way. Free, Lord, let thy blessing blessed face shine upon me. Hear thou my humble cry, be thou, dear Savior, nigh. Teach me to live, to die, saved by thy grace.
And welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Colliver. It is a joy to be on the air again today to bring you the message. And I trust the Lord will bless. Thank you for joining with us in this first part. And do remember, please, that we're continuing with the ministry of Paul the Apostle on his missionary journey, and he is in the city of Iconium. We're looking at that pattern, going into the synagogue, preaching, people believe, people doubt, and then problems arise. How often that's the case, the gospel preacher finds himself in trouble. Nothing new under the sun. God's way is always the same. Fighting the devil, that's what we're up about. We're to put on the Christian armor that we might stand against the wiles of the devil. And I hope that this program today will enable you to stand against the powers of darkness and to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. This is the call of the Lord to every believer, not just to some, but to you as well. And I trust that even today that you will stand fast in the Lord and that the Lord will bless you. And if we can be of any personal help, feel free to give us a call here. All the details coming up at the end of the program. We now move to the pulpit ministry of our church here, and may the Lord bless you as we let the Bible speak.
In this first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul, we see a pattern developing. A pattern that, I suppose, in one way could be monotonous. As we rehearse these things, Paul and Barnabas go into a synagogue. They preach the gospel. Some believe, some doubt. There's a division, opposition. They have to get out, move on. They go into another city, into another synagogue. They preach the gospel. Some believe, some doubt. There's opposition. They have to move on. This happened in Antioch in chapter 13. It happened at Iconium in chapter 14. It happened at Lystra in chapter 14. And such was the excitement at first at Lystra that they looked upon Barnabas at Jupiter as Jupiter and Paul as Mercury. Now, last week's sermon was entitled, When Opportunity Turns to Opposition. This evening, the title is, What to Expect When You Become a Christian. And I'm thinking about the individual converts who lived in these cities, who attended these synagogues, and along came these apostles, Paul and Barnabas, preached the gospel, and after all the dust had settled, these new converts had to live for Christ in their own town, and while these apostles moved on to a new place, they were called upon to live a new life. Now, it was to these new converts that Paul and Barnabas decided that they would revisit and return to encourage them so that they might not get lost in the woodwork, as it were. And you'll notice in verse 21 that after they had covered certain areas of Asia Minor and gone through these various cities, that they returned again. I want you to notice this. They returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, to Antioch. Now, on the map in Asia Minor, these cities are relatively close to each other. And when Paul and Barnabas returned to these cities to visit these Christians, newborn Christians, new in the faith, with all the struggles and all the questions and all the needs of first generation questions, you'll notice in verse 22 what the ministry was to them, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And then the scary part. And that the Christian life is the easiest thing in the world. Oh, no. No, that's not. That's the very opposite to what Paul said. When he went back to these groups of Christians in these various places, he went back to encourage them with these words, that we must through, I want you to get this now in your own Bible, Acts 14:22, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Too often, in the presentation of the gospel today, many people are told that when you become a Christian, it's going to erase all the problems in your life. It'll fix all the problems in your marriage. It'll fix all the problems in your family. It'll fix all the problems in your workaday world. And all those major struggles and strifes, they'll just melt away and everything will become easy as sliced bread. Well, that is not what Paul and Barnabas said to these new Christians. And I want you to notice that really with the essence of what Paul and Barnabas said to these new Christians in Asia Minor, in these various locations, was that you can calculate, you can count upon it, that now that you're a Christian, you're going to suffer hardships of various kinds as a Christian. And by being upfront and being honest with them, they sought to strengthen them and encourage them in the Christian life. This is similar to what Peter wrote in his epistles when he talked about suffering as a Christian, that you're not to count it a strange thing, that you're not to count it as, well, what bad thing that I do to deserve this. When you're suffering as a Christian for the gospel's sake, in this world, when you become a Christian, there will be trials. Or as Paul puts it here, tribulations. Maybe I'm speaking to you tonight and you are counting the cost of what it is to be a Christian. And that's wise. The Lord Jesus advised this. He talked about the fool who began to build but couldn't finish because he didn't count the cost. And it is necessary for anyone who would be a disciple of the Lord Jesus to count the cost. It is going to be in this world, in this life, a difficult thing to be a Christian. Maybe I'm speaking to someone who is confused about the things that have been befallen you since you've become a Christian. And you thought that if you became a disciple of the Lord Jesus and believed in him for salvation, that you wouldn't have all the problems and the difficulties that you're now facing. And there's a measure of confusion in your heart. Well, then you need to take to heart these words. And so I think it will profit us all this evening if we take time to examine this issue of what we may expect when you become a Christian. The first thing that we see here in this chapter is that we may expect division. Division. And in the 14th chapter here, if you go down to verse 4, the thing that happened when Paul and Barnabas went preaching, there was division. Verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided. divided. Now you'll notice prior to this that after they'd been driven out of Antioch, they were now in Iconium. They'd gone into the synagogue, preached the gospel. You'll notice again the dichotomy that you have in the synagogue, Jews and Greeks. And I sought to explain this, what is strange to us, that in the first century that you had a situation where you had in the synagogues many that were Gentiles, Greeks, attending the synagogues out of interest, and they were a ready-made audience for Paul to preach to. And there were a difference of opinion. But verse 3, you'll notice that at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas had an opportunity to preach for a considerable time. This was not just a one-day opportunity. It wasn't just a one Sabbath. They were preaching for a considerable time. And they had opportunity to speak boldly. You'll notice that they gave testimony unto the word of the Lord's grace. So they preached the gospel of grace. And attending that ministry is the first mention of signs and wonders or miracles. These were the days of the apostles. These were the days of supernatural things when they went preaching. And we read in this chapter of what happened at Lystra, of a man who was crippled from his birth, how Paul raised him to strength and he leaped and walked. And so these mighty things were happening in this city of Iconium. Now, the fruit of this was division. That always happens when the gospel is preached. The Lord Jesus said that he came not to bring peace to the earth, but a sword. When a man's foe shall be they of his own household, when there will be division between father and daughter and son, and the gospel divides. Because what happens when the gospel is preached is that it is not just merely theory, but it is truth, and truth leads to conviction, and conviction leads to loyalty. And you'll notice that it says here in verse 4, part held with the Jews, that was their loyalty. We're not going to accept this. All this new stuff from Paul and Barnabas, we're having none of it. And they held, that's their loyalty. And the other side, and part with the apostles. And so this was not merely a difference of general opinion. This was a division of loyalties, taking of sides. And that's what happens when the gospel's preached. You can't sit on the fence. You can't say, well, I prefer this particular truth, but it's up to you what you want to do or think. You have to be on the side of the Lord. And there will be a time when you'll have to hear the voice, who is on the Lord's side? And of course, that's what the preaching of the gospel does in hearts. And this division is necessary because it weans us from the world. We are called to leave the world. We're called to separate from its sin and its wicked ways. And we're called to be true to the Lord. And the first thing that will happen when you become a Christian is there will be division. And it could be that the closest and the dearest person to you on earth will be on the other side, will declare themselves an enemy of the gospel, and your loyalty will be to the Lord Jesus. I can remember when I first became a Christian, it wasn't very long until I had to not merely announce that I was a Christian, that's something I did very readily. But there came a situation in my early Christian life when I had to draw a line in the sand. And right in my family, I had to say, here I stand. And I cannot be a part of this. And that was a very real division. And it cost. And it hurts. And it brings tears. And there's a lot of things that are said and hurts that are caused that you wish could be otherwise. But when it comes to loyalty to the gospel of the Lord Jesus, you have to stand for Christ. I am told that in some Jewish circles and Muslim circles, that when a son or a daughter becomes a Christian, that the family not only disowns that son or daughter, but they actually have a mock funeral. And for all intents and purposes, that family member is dead. They don't belong to the family anymore at all. Such is the division that the gospel brings. Such is this parting, this loyalty to error versus loyalty to Christ. And as a Christian, you're going to face it. You may expect it, and you will have to bear the consequences, however they may come along. Now, where you find encouragement, and you have a family and a circle of friends who are Christians that encourage you as a Christian, let me tell you, that is a great gift from God. That is something never to be despised. And sometimes we may say, but we have such a small little church, and we're a small little band, and our prayer meetings are poorly attended, and there's so few. But let me tell you, you have Christian friends. You have those who do encourage you. That is God's gift. Because when you stand for the Lord, He does minister to you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.